Everybody say amen? So we're here to celebrate Palm Sunday, which is the beginning of Holy Week. And it kind of starts today. And we're going to talk about that this morning. But Holy Week leads us up into Friday, which is what? Good Friday. Jesus died on the cross. And then we move into Easter, which is next week. We'll celebrate the resurrection on Sunday. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. There's going to get it up on the screen. Amen. So let's pray first. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for the precious music and the worship. Lord, we love you. Thank you for our guests. Lord, as always, Father, we pray for our foreign missionaries and our military that are around the world doing what they do to protect our country and to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. So I always want to remember to pray for those and pray for our country and our leadership. And Lord, I ask you to help me this morning. Preach this, teach this as you put it on my heart. Love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's read together. Verse 1, verse 21, verse 1. It says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you. And at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, which is Zechariah. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Everybody said amen. Amen. So we're going to look at this scripture this morning, and we're going to go through it. Before we do that, I want you to understand that Jesus was in Jericho first. He was over in Jericho, which was about 18 miles from Jerusalem. So Jesus in Jericho, and he was performing miracles. He was healing people. And then when Jesus began to, because if you read here, it says that as he spoke this before the scripture, Jesus began to come down from Jericho and move his way closer to Jerusalem. And when he got to Jerusalem, he stopped at a little city called Bethphage. And Bethphage was really, it's like a little suburb of Jerusalem. And if you look up Bethphage, that's how you say it, Bethphage, you'll see that it's really the outermost part of the city, really, where they could bake bread to bring into the temple. It's kind of interesting. And so anything outside of Bethphage, they couldn't break bread to be used in the temple. And again, Bethphage was like a suburb of Jerusalem. It was kind of a uppity-up type suburb, you know, of Jerusalem. And then a little bit to the northeast was a city called Bethany. And it's interesting, Bethany was about 2 miles from Bethphage. And in Bethany, if you study Bethany, it'll tell you that was a little city. It was a little village type city where the poor and the broken at heart, the sick, they all went there to be ministered to. This whole entire little city, this village area had a heart for broken people, for people who were downtrodden and sick and suffering. Matter of fact, that's where Lazarus was, right? Remember that? And Jesus healed Lazarus in Bethany. So as Jesus, I'm trying to paint a picture for you, right? As Jesus is entering in what they call the triumphant entry. There's a big picture that was really painted in the scripture, and it was Jesus was doing all these miracles in Jericho, which is the oldest city, right, in the world. And as he was coming down and he was meeting all these people, Jesus was still healing folks, healing the blind and then raising people from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. So as Jesus began to come in these areas, he became very popular. I hate to use the word famous in that area, but he was. He was very, very popular in that time, right then. So people were flocking to come and see. They heard that he was coming into town. So they started coming into town. It says as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, it was really right there close to Bethany, Jesus sent two disciples. Jesus did what? He sent two disciples, and he told them to go over here to this little village over here, this little area, and you're going to find a donkey and a colt, and I want you to bring them to me. So I'm going to stop right there for just a minute and think about these disciples. Right? I mean, a lot of times we read these scriptures and we just read right over them, and we don't think about some of the little small things. But those disciples, you know, they played a big part in this whole ministry. They played a big part. Jesus told them to go over there and get these donkeys. Now I can imagine them thinking, okay. So they took off, and they're just human beings, right? Just men, rough men. And they probably started thinking, why do we got to do this? This kind of don't make sense. This is kind of weird. I can see one of them saying, well, Jesus wants us to steal a donkey? What's up with this? It's going to get us in trouble. We're going to, you know, I don't know about this. Oh, the other one's like, come on, man, just trust the Lord. You know, okay, and they trust. You see, these disciples, when Jesus told them to do something, they had to be obedient. Right? They had to trust Jesus. They had to do what he was telling them to do. All these character traits, you know, they had to do this. They had a choice. They could have debated. They could have argued. Well, why do we got to do this? That don't make sense. Well, actually, we're going, because they told them to go kind of the other direction. Well, Jesus, we're going this way. Why do we got to go back? If you read the theologians tell you, it was a couple miles they had to go back to this little village. Some say it was Bethany, but really don't know. Amen? So these donkey collectors, we don't even really talk about them very much. How many is a donkey collector in here? Yeah, we all are, really, if you think about it. Amen? See, the point I want to stop right here and make is they had a special part in the ministry of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection. It was a little part to go get a donkey and a colt. But they had a big part. And sometimes we think we're not significant or we don't make a difference because we're not the preacher or the Sunday school director or a deacon or we're not evangelists like Billy Graham or we're not this, we're not that. I just mow the grass. I just clean the bathrooms. I just pray for people. I just send out cards. I just do this little bit. No, never think like that. Everything you do for the Lord is great and mighty and powerful. You're a part of everything you do here at Pauline Baptist Church, or you support an orphan child or a missionary or give to Annie Armstrong. You're in a very important part of the ministry of Jesus Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection. The good news of Christ, you are a part of it. When you're in the nursery and you're serving and you're doing all these different things and you're bringing food, and you're a very important part of the ministry. Amen? Don't ever let the devil tell you that you're insignificant and you don't matter, because you do. Okay? So, saying to them, go to the village ahead and get the donkey and untie it and bring it to me. If anyone says to you, tell him the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. So I kind of think, you know, okay, God's kind of setting them up there a little bit. Really, that's kind of the way it comes across to me, is that probably a day or so ago or 2 days ago, maybe God, maybe Jesus, maybe an angel, maybe the Holy Spirit in a dream came to that owner of those donkeys and said, hey, I told you there'll come a day I will call upon you. And that's a lame joke, right? From the Godfather. Sorry, it's a bad joke. Forgive me, Lord. Think about it. It's really, an angel maybe or somebody had to tell that person that, hey, maybe in a little while there's going to be these couple guys that's going to come up and ask to borrow your donkey. And I need you to let them borrow it. Because that's really what it's saying there. As the disciples stepped out of faith and trusted Jesus, they went, found the donkey, started untying it, and lo and behold, somebody comes up, probably the owner, say, hey, why are you untying a donkey? And as soon as they said, because the Lord's needed, they said, oh, hey, he's here, it's yours, take him. And they did. So they took the donkeys and they brought them back. What else does it say? If anyone says to him, take it upon him. This took place that when he spoken through the prophet, okay, say to the daughter, that's come from Zacharias. They brought the donkey and placed their cloaks on them. What do? They placed their cloaks on the donkey. And then they set Jesus on the colt. Think about that for a minute. Coats, jackets, cloaks, robes, whatever they wore, they were sort of expensive and rare back in that day if you study that. Not everybody had one. It was something of value to them. It, you know, to give up their members-only jacket, to give up their Levi's jacket, some of you know what I'm talking about, right? To give up their favorite jacket that they've wore it in and it's good and it fits them good. To give up their own jacket, to lay it on that old dirty, nasty, sweaty donkey so that Jesus could get on it and ride it through the desert, because that whole ride coming down, I'm not going to say it, that all, she's giving the eye. You messed me up, man. Jesus, help me. But they're coming down from Jericho. It was if you study it today, it's like the desert. And they're coming down, and it's hot and dusty and just miserable little journey for that 18 miles. So then Jesus had to get on the colt, and he rode it in. But see, those folks gave what they had to Jesus. That's another small part in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the good news of Jesus. So what are we willing to give up? What are we willing to give to Jesus? It's a good question, right? What are we willing to give to Jesus, to missions, to ministries, to the church, for the spreading of the gospel? What are we willing to give up? It's different for everyone. Right? I can't tell you. I don't take this as condemnation. I mean, it could be anything. It could be money. It could be a car. It could be a boat. It could be anything. It could be clothes. You got some old, let me see how old clothes in your closet. You're tricking yourself thinking you're going to lose weight and get in them. Right? Old clothes, you could gather some old clothes and take them down to the homeless shelter or, or whatever. There's a lot of things that we could do to give to Jesus, to be a part of spreading the gospel of the good news. Amen? Really? So the disciples went and did as Jesus has instructed them in verse 6. I skipped that one. And that's listen to that scripture right there. They said they listened to Jesus and they did this. They did what he said to do. Amen. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him shouted, "Hosanna." And we all know Hosanna means what? It means save. Save us. Save us now. A lot of them were shouting Hosanna because they wanted to be saved now. They wanted to be saved. Save us. Save. I'll talk about that in a minute. Son of David says, "Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord." And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up and asked, "Who is this? Who is this? Who is this?" Guys, this crowd, see? Think about it. If you've ever been to a large gathering, and you're waiting on, say, one person to come in, You really can't see them. They could be way down there, maybe 100 yards, and hundreds of people. And there are people out there who believe in Jesus. There are people out there in this crowd that were curious about Jesus, and they heard the miracles, and you know, and he was the talk of the day, man, because he was raising people from the dead, and he was healing the blind and all this. So people, they didn't have CNN back then or Fox News, right? It was all spread, so they were coming around to look, and they were hanging around looking, and all of a sudden they heard, "There he is! There he is!" And some people still couldn't see, you know. And there were people there who didn't like Jesus. There were people there that could care less. Amen? So they said, "There he is!" And they started seeing him. They could say, "Yeah, okay, I think I see him. Oh, I see the crowd mumbling down there and moving about." And all of a sudden the crowd started kind of clearing and they started seeing Jesus, you know, and the palm branches, and waving the palm branches. You guys, NASCAR fans, that's where they come from, right? Checker flag, victory. Seriously, go look it up. Somebody told me that. I was like, "Nah, it doesn't." I looked it up and actually go all the way back to, because the waving of the palm branches was a sign of victory. It was a sign of victory, so it all kind of evolved into... Anyway, go look it up. So they're waving these palm branches, right? And Jesus is coming in, and all of a sudden, they kind of get a good glimpse of him. They see him a little bit, maybe he's waving. And all of a sudden, they see, he's on a donkey. He's riding a colt. Some of them get mad. Some of them get glad. Some of them are so grateful. And again, some of them don't care one bit. Because as most of us know, that when kings and very important people come riding into the city, the ones that were warrior kings and they were ready to go to battle, we all know they come riding in on a horse, a very powerful horse. And that was that symbolism, you know, of warrior and powerful and king, and we're coming to destroy the enemy. And some of them, that's what they really wanted. They wanted the Romans off their back. They wanted the king, the Messiah, to come in and kill all these Romans and build up his kingdom. And that's not what they saw. Because if a king or a very, very high important person came running in on a donkey, a colt, that means they were more interested in peace. So here comes Jesus riding in on a donkey, saying, you know, the Prince of Peace, right? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He gives us the peace that surpasses all understanding. So he comes riding in. He says, I am peace. He gives us peace. Think about that. Amen. And then the scripture tells us that he rides in a little bit more and he begins to see the people. He begins to see the city. And he begins to see the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious folks who are really sitting there watching him ride in, plotting his death at the same time. Just a bunch of hypocrites, a brood of vipers, right? And it moves Jesus to tears. He can see their hearts. He can read their minds. He knows what's going on. He sees the lost people and the people that are really just totally against them. And he says in the scripture, oh, how it saddened him. It did. It moved him to tears and he cried. Because basically, here he was. He says, here I am, savior of the world, and you can't even see it. They were so full of angry and pride and religious pride and arrogance and everything else that they didn't even recognize him. They didn't even see him. And he was saddened by it. He was sad and cried. So they kept asking, who is this? Who is this? And he said, it was Jesus. So this morning, as I close, I ask you, who is Jesus to you? Who is he? That's the most important question this morning. Who is Jesus to you? Is he your Savior? Is he your King? Is he your Lord? Is he your friend? Is he your counselor, God? Is he your brother? Who is Jesus to you? That's the question. Or is he just a guy that people talk about? Amen. So that's the question. I pray the Holy Spirit will move in your heart. If you do not know Jesus, during our song of invitation, if today is the day of salvation for you, I pray that it is. If you want to know Christ, I pray that when we sing this song that you'll come down and give your life to Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter. Lord, prepare all of our hearts to worship you during this week. Lord, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to participate in your ministry, whatever it may be, from a very, very small thing to a very big thing. Whatever we do, we know we're working for you. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, if there's one here that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, I'd be glad to pray with them. Maybe someone would like to join our church or maybe get baptized. Today would be a good time. We love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.